What happens when your life's work, defending one marginalized group, suddenly puts you at odds with another? Standing in Florence's Science Museum, staring at Galileo's preserved middle finger mounted on alabaster like a sacred relic, Alice Drager burst out laughing. Here was the old astronomer, eternally flipping off the universe that tried to silence him. That mummified digit became her talisman, a reminder that truth-seeking is messy, uncomfortable, and sometimes makes you everyone's enemy. Galileo didn't just challenge the church's astronomy, he rejected their right to define reality itself. When he insisted that anyone with a telescope could verify his observations, he unleashed something revolutionary, the idea that evidence, not authority, determines truth. This wasn't merely scientific progress, it was a fundamental shift in human identity, declaring that we discover who we are through investigation, not decree. That same principle would guide Drager through battles she never anticipated fighting. Dredger's academic research on Victorian hermaphroditism unexpectedly pulled her into activism. Intersex advocates fighting harmful medical practices sought her expertise, launching her double life, teaching history by day, campaigning against unnecessary infant genital surgeries by night. Working with Beau Laurent, she pursued basic human decency, treating children with sex anomalies as fully human, deserving honest medical care rather than cosmetic surgery based on outdated notions of normal genitals. The work proved so consuming, she resigned her tenure-track position, continuing part-time while focusing on advocacy. Critics attacked her for not being intersex herself, for being in bed with the doctors. Yet this insider position provided leverage. She could influence medical practice from within rather than shouting from outside. After 8 years, real change emerged. Surgeons who once dismissed them now questioned their own practices. By 2004, they'd published consensus guidelines, assign preliminary gender without requiring surgery, delay elective interventions until patients can decide, provide psychosocial support, and always tell the truth. Simple principles that somehow required a revolution. After her intersex advocacy success, Drager investigated a controversy involving Northwestern researcher J. Michael Bailey, whose book suggested some male-to-female transitions related to sexual orientation rather than solely inborn gender identity. The book contained supportive passages but also problematic stereotyping. What followed was a coordinated campaign to destroy Bailey's reputation through fabricated accusations. When Drager published her documented findings, she became the next target. Someone emailed calling her son a precious womb turd, and she contacted police about veiled threats. Most revealing was discovering Bailey's chief critics had previously acknowledged what they now vehemently denied. Lynn Conway maintained a website featuring bikini photos with measurements, seemingly embodying the erotic femininity she denied motivated her transition. Deirdre McCloskey had written about being sexually aroused by transformation stories. Andrea James, who posted Bailey's children's photos online with sexually explicit captions, had written in 1998, readily admitting to my own autogynephilia. After nearly a year of research, Drager concluded the campaign was a calculated sham, an attempt to silence unwelcome information and ensure no one else would dare speak it. The backlash was swift and brutal. False claims spread that she was anti-LGBT and anti-intersex, that the Bailey Group had funded her work when she'd paid for everything herself. Ethics complaints arrived, lecture hosts worried about security. She cried quietly in her kitchen one morning, hiding her tears from her son. This storm led to a Guggenheim Fellowship to study conflicts between scientists and activists over human identity issues. She discovered academics everywhere faced similar attacks for research that offended identity groups. She began questioning intellectual freedom's boundaries. Yet, she found hope in administrators who defended academic freedom when researchers were most vulnerable. The genius of science, peer review, paralleled democracy's checks and balances. Both emerged from Enlightenment principles. Truth emerges through open inquiry, not authority's decree. But could these ideals survive against moneyed interests, identity politics, and manipulative legislators? Flying home on Halloween 2008, she spotted Obama's campaign plane and thought about how the people will peer review in 4 days. She felt inspired by the possibility of reclaiming academia's role as truth seekers, teaching people to distinguish self-serving narratives from rigorously reviewed empirical studies. Just as Drager reached clarity about evidence-based activism, her intersex allies asked for help with a new crisis. Dr. Maria New, a prominent pediatric endocrinologist, was promoting dexamethasone, a potent synthetic steroid, to pregnant women whose fetuses might develop ambiguous genitalia due to congenital adrenal hyperplasia. She claimed it was effective and safe despite lacking FDA approval for this purpose. The ethical problems were staggering. 9 out of 10 exposed embryos could never benefit, since only female fetuses with CAH potentially developing ambiguous genitalia were the intended beneficiaries. Yet all exposed fetuses faced unknown risks from early developmental exposure to high levels of glucocorticoids. Drager discovered New had been conducting this intervention since 1986 under continuously funded NIH grants without placebo controls or blinded assessments. New's consent forms minimized risks, describing potential harms as transient and reversible while supposedly studying long-term safety. By 1996, the NIH was funding New to study whether prenatal dexamethasone could make CAH-affected females more likely to be heterosexual and interested in motherhood. Federal agencies rubber-stamped New's work. 2 months after dismissing Drager's concerns, Swedish researchers, conducting the only properly overseen trial, found mental retardation at 10 times the normal rate and immediately shut down their study. In the late 1980s, Drager's family visited Poland and discovered a solitary German soldier's grave in a tiny farming village. During World War II, this soldier had refused his Nazi officer's order to massacre villagers harboring Jews. The officer shot him dead on the spot. Decades later, survivors still tended his grave. This story embodies what Drager's mother taught her. Dogma isn't particularly useful, but clear thinking beyond yourself and your loyalties helps discern right from wrong. Human reasoning is imperfect, but the quest for truth must guide how we enact good. Today, both scholarship and activism face serious threats. Social activism suffers from internet-induced distraction and false accomplishment. Investigative journalism's collapse means no one separates reality from illusion. Universities have shifted to a corporate model, judging faculty by grant money rather than knowledge generation. Most troubling is the tendency in some humanities to dismiss objective understanding as naive or dangerous. Those claiming there's no objective reality typically haven't witnessed real-world consequences, whether from clitoroplasty or prenatal dexamethasone advertised as safe without scientific support. The Founding Fathers understood the critical connection between freedom of thought and freedom of person. When the Declaration of Independence was first read publicly in Philadelphia, it happened on a platform elected by the American Philosophical Society for Astronomical Observations, a perfect symbol of how scientific inquiry set the stage for political freedom. Progress continues despite resistance. In 2013, the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture recommended halting forced genital normalizing surgery on children unable to consent. A landmark case involves a boy with ambiguous genitalia surgically feminized at 16 months in foster care. His adoptive parents supported his male identity, and their lawyers argue his 14th Amendment rights were violated. Meanwhile, transgender people struggle to access gender-affirming care that intersex babies receive without consent. More hospitals now provide supportive transgender care, though some may medicalize gender nonconforming children too quickly. Despite suppression efforts, more people openly identify as autogynephilic, and studies consistently show transition improves transgender people's well-being. The fundamental problem persists. Good intentions don't prevent harm. Most believe their moral goodness protects them from bad acts, viewing history as simple moral dramas rather than tragic errors. To activists, justice requires truth. To scholars, protect each other and the public from misinformation. evidence is democracy's most important ethical issue. Like Galileo pointing toward the stars, we must reach for truth, not because it's comfortable, but because justice depends on it. In a world drowning in narratives, demanding evidence is your most radical act. Your most profound loyalty is to reality itself.